might be a country are a pleasant sight to see. But the girls in White Butte Country got the same grandpa as me. So I split for Silver City with my own Bridget Blue. But the boys in Silver City had their eyes on Bridget too. I was born in White Butte Country, where the hills are made of clay. I lived my life without a wife and expect to die that way.
Listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 5th through Sunday, July 8th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Bruce Tulloch, host of Beer for Breakfast, and this episode spotlights Casey and Clayton. We're happy to be joined by Clayton, a duo of cousins from Saskatchewan. It's a family band in every way. Casey's grandfather taught the family how to play guitar, and Clayton when he was 8. And before they were teens, they were jamming. And by the time he was driving, he had already co-founded his own folk festival. The folk festival is no more, but Casey and Clayton's rise to fame is meteoric. They came as young performers to the Winnipeg Folk Festival in 2011 with a beautiful throwback folk album. And they are back this year. Their latest album, the Siren Song, harkens back to the heyday of when country rock was just starting. Welcome, Casey, or Clayton, I should say. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Bruce.
The last time we talked was 7 years ago when you were a young performer at the Folk Festival. It's a great, great program. So many have gone on to big careers. And since then, you had an independent album, and then you put out another album.
Strange Country.
Strange Country.
That was the next one.
There we
yeah.
go. And this one, it's a full band at... produced by none other than Wilco's Jeff Tweedy.
Mm-hmm.
the instant reaction is, wow. How tell for everybody wants to know how that came about, because at Folk Festival, you know, he is one of the most admired icons to grace the stage. So everybody wants to hear about you and Jeff Tweedy.
Well, we first met, let's see, about 2 years ago. Casey and I opened up for Wilco at the Fillmore in San Francisco. They were playing like a 5-night residency, and they had a different support group every night. And we got to be one of those bands. And that's when we met Jeff. And from then, we just sort of kept in touch. You know, he's got great taste in records, and we have a lot of, you know, favorite bands in common. And we were going through Chicago a few weeks after playing with them, and he told us to come by the studio, the Loft, and have a look. So we stopped in, and he was there working on some music, and he played, he showed us all his, you know, where he makes music. And so he invited us to come make a record if we wanted to. And we were getting ready to record at the time. We actually had the studio booked in Saskatoon for the winter, but we changed our plans and went to Chicago instead.
You can't turn down Jeff Tweedy.
No, it was something we couldn't really turn down, and, you know, a very exciting thing. So I'm happy we did it. Very happy.
And it's, I don't want to say it's a departure, but it is a rapid evolution. You guys have a very great basic sound. By basic, I mean there's not a lot of instrumental. You know, there's two vocals. There's a, you know, it's very simple and plaintive and down to earth. You know, it's something that goes back to the roots of folk music and blues, and we're going to get into that in a second. But this, the first time I heard it, I you could have knocked me over with a feather. It's this big, I mean, a big sound. It can get quiet, like the title track, or it can get loud. and rock is like White Butte country. Was that Jeff Tweedy's doing, or how did that come about?
Well, you know, how that came about was actually since when we released the album Strange Country, which also had a rhythm section on it, mm-hmm. We started playing live with a band just more frequently than as the duo. For the simple fact that we were having trouble playing the material and having it, you know, be heard a lot of the places that we would play, you know, bars and typical places for bands to play. Just too, a little too noisy to play acoustically often. So between that and, you know, our love of all kinds of country music and early rock and roll, we just thought it would be exciting to start playing with a band. So leading up to the recording of the Siren Song, we had been playing with a band almost all the time. So it was kind of just the natural thing to do, record in the way that we'd been playing live.
So now it's a band. We can stop saying. I mean, it's a duo, but it's a band now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although it's after touring with a band for a couple of years, it's a costly thing, and we're starting to play a bit more as a duo again. You know, we play as a band when the budget allows.
And then does the budget allow with the Folk Festival? Are you bringing the band?
Yes,
or
we'll have the band. We'll have the band for the Folk Festival.
And what about with the older songs? Do you rearrange them for the new stuff, or do you pull out songs that we haven't heard yet?
Well, we've rearranged some older material to fit the band, and I suspect we've got a lot of new songs. I don't know how many of them will be playing by time of the folk festival, but you might hear some new songs. It's a pretty good mix of material from our last three albums and so forth.
Well, this three albums, this will be your third trip to the folk festival. Tell us what you dig about it. This is the Winnipeg Folk Festival podcast, after all.
Well, I've seen a lot of great shows there at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. One of my favorite live performances of my whole life was seeing Robin Hitchcock and the Sadies play the Stage Fright album. And I've had a lot of good times there with friends, and it's a beautiful park. So I'm excited to come back. I always like to stay at the Westin too. That's always feels nice. I camped there 1 year, which was fine, but I certainly prefer fancy downtown Westin.
I hear you. Been there camping. I'm sold on glamping. You know, the Westin is the way to go. We're not going to talk about how how soft we've gotten, but the press has been great. People love you everywhere. Do you ever feel that puts like some sort of pressure on you, where it's like, oh, they're raising the expectations to a point where they're expecting something that we're not, or do you pay attention to it?
You know, I try not to think about it at all. It's very nice. It's like a great encouragement, you know, when it's positive, which we've been lucky because a lot of it has been positive. But I think it can be dangerous to get too attached to that. And then because, you know, the disappointment when it's negative is quite big. So if you put too much stock into that, I think it can be dangerous.
And when it is negative, how do you resolve that? You know, like, ooh, you know, because I know some people some artists can't look at the reviews because they'll internalize it and they'll obsess over that, you know, everything was great, but, you know, whatever is was always hitting this sour note. And they'll start wondering whether they should get a new guitar or they should play different, or and it wraps around their head. Others go, brush it off. You know, what is your relationship? You know, relationships with the media are a hot topic these days. Do you read the articles, or once you've done the interview, hey, I was there?
I sometimes am pretty curious about what they say, but my dad told me one time, something like, you're never as good or as bad as you think you are. So that's kind of the attitude I try to keep with such things. Reading reviews, you know, don't take any of it too seriously, because, you know, that time can be better spent trying to work on something else.
And speaking of something else, let's get into other music. You've got a deep love. You mentioned a love of old rock and roll and country music in all its forms. Also, we know you're a big blues fan, like old blues. When you and Jeff Tweedy, and I don't want to make this about Jeff Tweedy, just because you name dropped him. I shouldn't say you name dropped him. I name dropped him. But you talked about. The important part isn't the name. The important part is you mentioned listening to records with them. So I want to hear about the record party. When you're sitting down with somebody, he's like, oh, you got to hear. What are you pulling out? What do you like to listen to?
What do I like to listen to?
Yeah, like, well, if we were going to have a record party at your pad, what are the records you're going to pull out first?
Well, right now, I'm absolutely obsessed with a Hoyt Axton record called My Griffin Is Gone. And I'm always listening to a lot of traditional British folk music, mostly Shirley Collins and the Watersons, and a lot of country music, lots of Merle Haggard. And it's, I could go over to my record stack
right now,
but I think I've given you, it's hard to remember that stuff, because I listen to a lot of it, and I listen pretty frequently.
I'm always asking the questions that I could never answer. So there is no judgment. In those moments where you're not playing music, not listening to music, do you have any moments where you're doing something else? How do you kick back from it all?
Well, let's see. I have a garden. I mean, I'm not really a gardener, but that's one thing that I go pull the weeds in the garden sometimes. But I guess I like to read. Pretty normal things.
Well, it used to be normal. I mean, we're starting to wonder these days whether people read or not. What kind of stuff? Science fiction?
Oh, I read a lot about the Great Plains. I'm pretty obsessed with Western Canadian and the old West, that sort of history, ranching history and such. But I don't, it's not like I spend like I'm some sort of historian or anything. That's just the kind of thing that I like to read about. Saskatchewan, anything to do with Saskatchewan.
Anything to do with Saskatchewan that isn't the Rough Riders.
Yeah, I hate football. I mean, my parents are really obsessed with the CFL, and I can't stand it. I'm not a sports guy, so.
And they let you back into Saskatchewan?
Oh yeah, we just they overlook that,
Yeah, people talk about the Jets here, but we know what it's like there for Rider Nation, and it's all consuming. That's all consuming.
That's a good one.
Well, Clayton, thank you ever so much for your time today, and we can't wait to see you back at the Folk Festival. Clayton, what should we play for the folks off the? It's your choice as we go out. We played my favorite and your song, White Butte Country. The rest of it of the vocals have been left to Casey, and her gorgeous voice. What should we play the folks?
Well, why don't you play in the song that comes after that one on the album? Certain Kind of Memory.
We all have those, and we were talking about those with our other guests, as well as Clayton Linthicum from the duo Casey and Clayton. I'm Bruce Tulloch, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting Casey and Clayton, who will be performing at the 2018 Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com, and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 5th through the 8th at Birds Hill Park.
I try my best to forget.